This is Detention, a podcast dedicated to candid conversations about education. I'm your host, Dr. Nadia Lopez, a global leader, author, speaker, coach, consultant, and entrepreneur who opened a school to close a prison. Join me as I share my insights and bring fellow disruptors to serve time in conversation. Rebels, let's get into some good trouble. Hey, Detentionites. During the recording of the previous episode with my daughter, Sine, we had to take a pause and just take some time out because there were some emotions that were triggered as a result of talking about the trauma she actually witnessed during my time as a school administrator. As a result, this is part two of the conversation with us talking about her college years and the work she's doing through her organization, Little Miss Goody, which she actually started in 2013. It began as a philanthropic endeavor for her to give back to disadvantaged families in Guatemala, where my mom is actually from. And she also hosted brunches for young girls centered around wellness and dream development. She is now focused on introducing girls into the tech profession, which is part of her undergraduate degree, and offering guidance to those who are in high school preparing for college. And in 2023, she will be launching her own podcast. It was fun with us just talking about what a difference it has made with me being more at home and how she's been able to accomplish so much in her own right. Now, let's get into it.
So we're back. And now we're going into this new chapter. So I have since resigned from my position. Mm-hmm. I have had the pleasure of seeing your growth, your mm-hmm. maturity, your accomplishments as a college student, but now as a 21-year-old woman. How has your transition into college been? What has that been like for you?
I think it was a pretty smooth transition. I think Medgar prepared me for college. So it wasn't a huge transition. It wasn't that bad. I think something that I learned when I got to college, I had a culture shock. I wouldn't say not a bad thing about mm-hmm. college, but it opened my eyes up about that.
And when you say a culture shock, to what?
Oh, just going from being the majority at school.
Majority of what?
Black people at my school, to now being the minority. That was a shock to me. In my first coding class, I was in a group. It was seven of us, and I was the only Black person, and I was the only woman in my group. Mm-hmm. So just trying to navigate that space. And, you know, not all, you know, white people have been around Black people, so the comments they'll make, and, you know, I have to educate them. One of my classmates was trying to touch my hand. I was like, Chandler, you can't touch my hair. I'm sorry. And he's just like, oh my God. Like, and I know for him, he was being genuine and he just didn't know.
Yeah.
So having to educate him on that, but just having to have that experience, I never had to go through that before. So I mean, you know, college opened me up to a lot, but I think academically, in terms of work,
it wasn't hard.
No, it was. I just feel like I was doing much more at Medgar at sixth grade. College, everything is spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to me now to get my homework done. I had homework due every other day in high school, middle school, high school. So now every week I'm like, oh, that's not bad, but I always put pressure on myself. So
something that we talk about, the pressure, and I will say this, the pandemic was really hard.
Yeah, it changed my world, honestly. You went from being in your dorm, being with your friends. We're talking about, oh, we're going to Orlando for spring break. And now it's, oh, a global pandemic. And I didn't even know what a pandemic was. I didn't even take it seriously. Mommy was telling me, oh, you're not going nowhere. I'm like, no, we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And then we realized everybody's like, our parents are saying no. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to be in the house for a really long time. But academically, it was hard because I went from in-person classes to being virtual.
Yeah.
And now I'm not even in the state of Georgia. I'm in New York. So I'm in a place of, I'm not free to do anything. I'm in this apartment building in my room. I can't go outside to think. I just feel like I'm trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know why that summer I took 3 classes. That was crazy because I ended up having like a really bad anxiety attack.
Yeah.
Because of all the pressure of work and having assignments and tests due all on the same day. And for me, I'm such a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I feel like I was disappointing myself in you if I don't get an A.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which wasn't necessarily the case. I said to you, you don't have to do anything. And you felt, I need to do work. I need to be working. You know, you would be working. And I'm like, yeah, but it's a pandemic.
Yeah. And I needed to keep myself busy too. I needed to escape what was going on in my reality. So me taking classes was just another distraction, because if I'm not taking classes, I'm just sitting in a house all day.
Yeah.
And I can't just go outside.
Because there was a curfew. It was actually much more harmful to go outside. There were so many people dying in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
It was constant. We were learning about people that we knew that were passing away, even the most, you know, what we thought were healthy, young to old. We lost a lot, like more than probably 20 people. And I will say this, it was just like, I saw your decline, the depression, the, you didn't want to get out. Like, even if I said, Sinead, come with me and walk, you were like, no, I'm good. The protests were happening. I was like, Sinead, let's go outside. Mm-hmm. She was like, nope, I'm staying in the house. She was not with it. She was just like, mm-hmm. I'm not exposing myself.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping schedule. I would rather stay up all night so I could just sleep throughout the day.
Yeah, it was pretty hard, but I will say this, you did focus and your grades, you actually ended up with the 4.0 average and on the president's list.
Yeah. And my first semester in college, you know, just to,
yeah,
it was,
if to complete the sentence, the first semester of college, that transition, she didn't do so well.
Yeah,
I was just like, it's okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. I did terrible. Like, I had 2 A's, 2 B's, and I got a D in the class. But
mm-hmm.
just to say, that class, I worked very hard for it.
Right.
It was discrete math. That was the hardest class I ever took. And after that class, I changed my major from computer science to IT because I could not do it. So if I didn't have the D in that class, I feel like I would have had like a 3.0.
Yeah, more than likely. And I was actually fine with it. I had to convince you that it was okay. Because you were killing yourself with this. You were like, oh my God, I keep taking this class. I'm not doing well. I said, Sinead, as long as it's not an F, you'll be fine. But you took it harder because you, again, the perfectionist. And I was like, if you get a D, you don't have to take the class over ever again. Like, that's my stride for you, because I said it was literally making you feel like you weren't good enough.
Yeah. And I was the only, I think, yeah, Tuesday, that's the only class
It was.
that made me feel like that. It was really hard, and it takes a special person to actually grasp discrete
Discrete
math.
math.
And my professor, she was so good. My SI, he was awesome, but I just couldn't grasp it. And I said, no.
Well, you
Yeah.
went from that, realized, and then you tried to add on statistics, and I was like,
Oh
no,
yeah,
that's
that
not.
was a phase. I thought I was gonna be a stats minor, but in the summer I took a computer application a stats class, and I said no. I was so much writing, and what I really loved about statistics was making the graphs. That's what I really loved. So for my the class I was taking in the summer, I was making graphs, but then I had to explain what the graphs represent. And I'm like, I don't like this writing. And that was just the second class into the minor. The third class was going to be with the same professor. And he said, if you think this is bad now, you have to write up to 10 pages. And I said, no, Sinead Tyler is not doing that. So,
And so she kindly took a step back, and I was like,
yeah.
thank you.
I thought I was gonna be get a master's in data analytics. I thought, listen, I was planning out my life. I thought I was gonna graduate semesters like a year earlier. I was gonna change my major. It was a lot.
It was a lot. And I will say, from the standpoint of being her mom, there was no pressure on my part. I really wanted her to figure it out. I was like, Sinead, I just want you to figure it out. Just go with the flow. If you're going to change your major, because I knew what it was like to go into nursing for my undergraduate degree. And at some point realize, I don't think this is what I want to do. But my mom, because she was a nurse's assistant, felt like she was living through me. And she wanted to see me become a nurse. And I don't take anything away from the experience. I think nursing provided me, well, I know nursing provided me the holistic approach when I deal with children, but no interest in ever being on anyone's floor to give out medications, to write nurses' notes, to take anybody's blood, administer any, like, I'm not giving a needle, nothing. I'm so not missing any of it. And so I never wanted to tell you what you needed to do. I wanted you to figure it out and also give you the time. Because even now, as you have this co-op position, and you've extended a year, you work one semester, then go to school another semester. And I think that that was the best thing for you, because considering if you become like very anxiety driven, riddled sometimes, like you can literally get so overwhelmed. I was like, no, you need a smooth transition, because you never really had a job before and all of those things. Take your time, get to know the workforce, what's expected of you. And it's been working out pretty good, right?
Yeah, I feel like I'm learning a lot. And it exposed me to the workforce, like you were saying. Because in school, they teach us about, they teach us topics, but actually having to apply them in the real world. And it's so much different. I'm at school, they expect us to remember so much syntax and coding. So now I'm in work, I'm trying to figure out the syntax, and they're like, "Sinead, you could just Google it." I'm like, "We could, we could do that." And they're like, "Yeah, we don't expect you to know everything." So I think working has helped me realize, you don't have to be perfect. And just show up and always be ready to learn. That's one thing I feel like I've really learned at work, but I think it's the best decision I made.
Yeah, absolutely. And it allows you to learn the importance of giving yourself grace,
Yeah,
right?
I learned that a lot this first rotation because, in school I have so much downtime, but now working, I realize the time I have for myself, I have to cherish that and appreciate that. Because, you know, you work a 9 to 5, but having to go to bed a certain time to make sure you show up for work, having to get up. So I wake up 6:30 every morning in order for me to leave out by 8, and it takes me 35 to 40 minutes to get to work, have to find parking. Just that alone is a lot. And then when I come back home, you know, so tired, I'm so tired, then I'm trying to find time to do things that I like. So, you know, doing Pilates, crocheting, but then there's times where I'm like, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. So, you know, work-life balance, I've been dealing with that and not trying to be a perfectionist at work, because I used to think I have to be the best co-op, and they're like, Sina, you're doing an excellent job. So I think that has helped me a lot at work and just made me realize, you know, as much as school, yes, it's helped me with the probably more like the technical aspects,
yeah,
but just developing more of my soft skills.
Mm.
Because I noticed when I was talking to my manager in our one-on-one, and he told me the reason why he hired me. He said, you know, all these other kids, they had the technical skills, but they didn't have the soft skills that you had. You were really personable. You asked us questions that we never got asked before. So
that's dope.
Yeah. So, you know, and during my interview, I switched into an English accent. So he picked up on that. He was like, yeah, she's going to make a difference in the office. And even still, when I walk in the office, they know who I am. I'm always talking to my director. And he said to me last week, he said, Sine, when you're not on your rotation, you're going to truly be missed, because nobody has brightened up the office the way you have. So, you know, it made my heart warm, because as much as I was so stressed at work,
yeah,
I was also making a difference on the people at work. So, you know.
I'm glad that you are getting that experience, mm-hmm. and you get to come into your own. Right.
Yeah.
And you're this, as I said, the new chapter is like, there's no association with who I am.
Yeah.
It's all about you, your efforts, mm-hmm. your accomplishments, your ability to add value. Mm-hmm. And I think that every parent should be aware of that. They should be aware of giving their children space to figure themselves out.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And I think even in college, it helped me speak up for myself more and be more self-aware, because, you know, at school, like you said, everything is on you and how you show up. And I want to tell all the people who are college students, give yourself grace and, you know, you're going to grow in school. And I feel like for me, just seeing where I was my freshman year to now,
mm-hmm.
I'm just so amazed that, wow, look how much I've grown and how much I've matured. So I think I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't have the opportunity to go to college.
Yeah.
So.
And even picking the right college was a struggle. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
the stress.
You know, it was set since like I was in seventh grade. You're going to go to Kennesaw State. I'm like, okay, I was all for it. Then it was senior year came, and I just started applying to all these different colleges.
But let me say this. I wasn't saying you better go to Kennesaw
State. No, it was just like, you have the house down here.
We had the house down here. We had gone and visited, and mm-hmm. it was always like, it was always a good experience. Like, you, mm-hmm. I always told Sine, you go to the place that you feel like you belong. Like, you walk on the campus, you can see yourself there. They treat you like they want you there.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then when it was time to make those college decisions, there was so many people who were then saying, oh, what about HBCUs? What about, like, they were starting to impose their choices. Some people, it was based off of they went to HBCU, so that's understandable. But there were some people who were literally saying, if I could do it all over again, I would go to an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with Sine was, you were pretty much considering, I'm going to Kennesaw State. And we had gone to HBCUs, but the experience wasn't, it wasn't given what it needed to give. Right?
Yeah, no.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but the experience was more like,
we are who we are, and we don't have to convince you that you need to come here.
Right. And it's about, it's not so much convincing her that she needed to go there. It was more so, can you put in a little bit of effort to do a school, a tour, right? Like, just do a tour. Yeah, we didn't
go on any tours.
We didn't go on any tour. People had us in their offices asking Sine, well, what do you want to major in? And it's kind of too early for you to start thinking about this now. And it was like, just because it's not her senior year, like, this is the time she's starting to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sine would say to me, but do they know who you are? Like, how are we going to these places and they're not even taking the time? And then we would go back to Kennesaw State. We even went to Georgia State.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. They went above and beyond. The mm-hmm. vice president came in for Georgia State, came and spoke to Sine. They found someone from New York to sit and talk to Sine about their experience.
Mm-hmm.
Kennesaw State, they took us all around the school. They took her to different departments. They gave us free food to eat. They gave us Georgia State. The vice president had lunch with us. Like, it was, they were going above and beyond. Agnes Scott did the same mm-hmm. thing. They were going above and beyond. And we're not speaking about every HBCU. What mm-hmm. we're saying, based on our experience, it's important for young people to make the decision on how they feel. Now, mm-hmm. I will say this. Even with the experience I had with Sine, I still continued at the school when I was the principal to have a college fair where I would bring the HBCUs. Mm-hmm. I would bring all these people there and I share with them the experience so they could talk to Sine so that they could know for future young people who went there to just be mindful of how they interact. But she ultimately found the school that was the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right?
I love Kennesaw State. Like, just thinking about the resources and everything. I made a great decision.
You did. And so because of that, let's talk about Little Miss Goody
mm-hmm.
and the initiatives that you have started, because literally while we were on our vacation,
mm-hmm.
Sine and I just took time to think about the organization she started way back when she was, I want to say 9 or 10, because she got in trouble.
Yeah.
Long story short, Little Miss Goody came out of the fact that she didn't want to be considered a goody two-shoe mm-hmm. and found herself on social media when she wasn't supposed to be. And when she told me she didn't want to be a goody two-shoe, I was like, oh, let me tell you how you're going to make this right. And so the punishment was that she had to create an organization that would then empower and educate other young girls so that they felt a sense of belonging. Because essentially she just wanted to be down with the other kids. And it was like, are you willing to compromise my trust in you and put yourself in this like trouble just because you want to be on Facebook? Because that's what it was back then. And so Little Miss Goody was born.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you doing with your organization?
So now we were just talking about the picking the right college. I really want to help young girls pick the right college for them. I was grateful to have you and be exposed to college at such a young age. And when it was time for me to apply, I didn't really have any issues, but at my high school, so many people were first generation, going to be first generation college students. They didn't have the resources. Mm-hmm. So I was the person that was helping so many people in the office. And I saw how much I was able to make a difference with them. So I want to help young girls with the college application process. I also want to help young girls develop better eating habits. For me, I think growing up, I always had an issue with my weight.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me February 2021 to make the change and lose weight, change my diet, just have overall a better, like a healthier lifestyle. And just seeing how I was able to lose 25 pounds in 3 months and how that made me feel. So I just want to educate young girls on what they're eating, because especially as Black women, we always have these health issues and we don't know about them until we're older. And if we can prevent that from now, that could just help out a lot. So that's another initiative that I want to start. But right now, focusing on helping the girls pick the right college for them.
And also your the tech exposure.
Yes. How did I forget that? I don't forget that. But yes, when I'm in my classes, I'm always one out of two Black women in my classroom. And I want to bridge the gap between Black women and technology, because there is so many opportunities out there. And not enough of us in those positions. So I want to help other girls be in the position that I am in.
Excellent. So you want to help young people with choosing the right college.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you created?
I created my own book called The Little Miss Goody, the College Guide. To help them map out each college that they apply to based on like the location, financial aid, resources, you know, room and board, because these are important things you need to take into consideration when you are applying to college. And, you know, I don't ever want someone to ever regret their decision. So,
okay. So you have the book, and what else are you providing to the public?
So on my Instagram, I have free resources that I've created in my link tree. My Instagram is Little Miss Goody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so LittleMissGoodie. So on my website in the link tree, I have FAFSA checklist that has all the documents you would need to fill out your FAFSA, Common App checklist. It helps you organize the documents you need for the Common App, because that can be very tedious, very, very tedious.
I remember that. It was stressful.
Very stressful. And also a cheat sheet for Common App. So just to get them organized before actually applying to schools.
Okay. So all of this, your host,
mm-hmm,
that's providing young girls, their families, resources, mm-hmm, what to do, checklist, that is at Little Miss Goody,
mm-hmm,
on Instagram. I'm going to have this in the show notes. The book, the ebook that you're talking about, the Little Miss Goody College Guide, will actually be under the Elevated Bookstore. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that as well. And they can pick up to how many colleges?
10.
10. Mm-hmm. But because it's an ebook and they could print it out, they, mm-hmm, can print out additional,
yeah,
pages as well. Is there anything else that's on the horizons for you?
Right now, I'm just working on Little Miss Goody, trying to finish up my first rotation at work. Just finishing my first rotation at my job. Yeah, that's just
That's
what I'm
it.
doing.
Well, we've gone through so much. We've talked about, the first half, the first part of this conversation was really those earlier years. And now we've gotten to a place of I get to bask in this moment of seeing the fruits of the labor and really getting to celebrate you. And I want you to know how extremely proud I am of you.
Thank you.
Because I know how hard I could be, but it's also just being a Black mom and Afro Latina, having parents who aren't from this country and knowing what it takes to be in existence and to be present. Part of the upbringing is making sure that you have the tools, the strategies, and the agency to speak up for yourself. And you've done it so effortlessly. You're welcome. And then also just the way in which you have care and regard for other people. Like the name Sanae means love. It's Indian, and you have embodied all of that. And even in those tough moments, those growing pains, there's a level of maturity that has come out of your growth. And so I want to always let you know that as your mom, I'm here. And as somebody who has been inspired and continues to be inspired by you to keep going, because you not only do it for me, but there's so many countless people who feel the same way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that brings us to the conclusion. And I want to say this. I'm going to share this in the episode that will tie up this season. I intentionally chose you as the ending to the Detention Podcast season one as the last interview, simply because I know I haven't been as consistent because I've been on this journey of figuring things out. And in this last couple of weeks of your birthday, we went to a conference. We were able to be amongst a group of dynamic Black women and just seeing how what they've been able to accomplish, but being in a room with other women who are just seeking knowledge. And as I am transitioning and stepping into that purpose, I also value the importance of recognizing that my health is what really was the catalyst for me to focus on wellness. And that's been the catalyst that's helped you to focus on wellness. And so from that, not only am I thinking about the Detention Podcast and what that will look like in terms of people being able to have impact and education, but also the aspect of it of how do we take care of ourselves? Because I want people to be around long enough to value and appreciate their children, to have time, because I want to spend time with you while I'm well and not in like in a hospital. I never want to go through that ever again. Nor do I want you to associate success with the sacrifice, right? And so you should be able to live a full life, but with meaning and purpose that doesn't require you to be a savior and doesn't have to require you to be a martyr, nor does it have to require you to compromise to be working for anyone, because you can do your own, hence Little Miss Goody. So I want to thank you, because Elevated, which is something that I started 2019, right before I got sick. Sinead was part of that. She was at the conference that we kicked off. We have a podcast, and that's going to be the next venture. So I'm going to share all of those things in the next episode. But in the meantime, I want you to check out the show notes, support Sinead, download an ebook, give it to someone who needs it, share it. But also follow Little Miss Goody. And yeah. I love you.
Love you too.
Yes. Mwah. Until next time.
We did it, Joe.
We did it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I have. You can follow Sinead's work on Instagram at Little Miss Goody and also purchase a copy of her ebook, Little Miss Goody Presents The Goody College Guide at www.elevatedblk.com/bookstore. It is a workbook designed to help students with the selection process of choosing the best college based on the most important determining factors that most people tend to forget until they get to college and realize it may not be the right fit. But all of this will be in the show notes. Sinead and I hope that you got something good from our conversation. As a mom, I see the major difference in my daughter's confidence, and we are closer than ever. While I love what I did as a principal in terms of creating and founding a school, the day that I resigned, I was easily replaced. But had I died because of the job, there would never be anyone who could replace me as a mother for my daughter. So please, spend time with your loved ones. They need you to be present, not just physically, but emotionally as well. Thank you for serving time with me here in detention. Don't forget to subscribe and to tell a friend so that this way you're up to date on new episodes that will drop every week. You can also follow us on Instagram at Detention Podcast. If you want to learn more about my services as a coach, consultant, and keynote speaker, go to www.thelopezeffect.com. And let's stay connected on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram by following me on my handle, The Lopez Effect. Lastly, if you have any topic ideas, questions, or comments, or want to sponsor future episodes, please send me an email at detentionwithdrnadialopez@gmail.com. All of this information will be in the show notes, so don't worry if you didn't get it down. I also want to send a gentle reminder to my disruptors and rebels. It's okay for us to get into a little bit of good trouble, but please take gentle care of yourself, be well, and never forget to choose you.